Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. Today, we have a report on efforts by two California legislators seeking to curtail the National Security Agency, or NSA, from warrantless surveillance of Americans. Senate Bill 828 is co-authored by Republican State Senator Joel Anderson, who represents most of East County, and Democratic Senator Ted Lieu from Torrance. Anderson says, "I support this bill because I support the Constitution, our Fourth Amendment rights, and our freedoms to live in the United States of America." The bill would prohibit state agencies and officials, as well as corporations that provide services to the state, from helping the NSA and collecting data without warrants on 38 million Californians. Services that the NSA relies upon include power and water needed to cool its powerful supercomputers. Firms such as internet service providers or telecommunications companies could potentially lose lucrative state contacts if they assist the NSA with data collection on their customers. The measure could even be used to cut off power to any NSA data collection centers in places with municipally owned utilities. This bill would also ban use of electronic data or metadata provided by the federal government or a corporation that was obtained without a federal warrant, in many cases, from being used in a state or local criminal investigation or prosecution. SB 828 is based on model legislation called the Fourth Amendment Protection Act. It's proposed by the Tenth Amendment Center under a project called Nullify the NSA. It seeks to restore constitutional protections against unreasonable search and seizure guaranteed by the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. A federal judge recently ruled that the NSA's widespread collection of Americans' phone records is unconstitutional, calling the sweep near Orwellian. All 317 million Americans cannot reasonably be considered to be suspicious simply for making or receiving telephone calls, Senator Lieu said. The NSA's blanket seizure of telephone records of all Americans is therefore an unreasonable seizure under the Fourth Amendment, he added, noting that our founding fathers enacted the Bill of Rights because they understood the dangers of an out-of-control government, having fled tyranny of English rule. The measure is based on the concept of state nullification. The Tenth Amendment Center explains that the concept began when Thomas Jefferson was vice president and authored what came to be known as the Kentucky Resolutions of 1798. The resolutions made the case that the federal government is created by the states and that states have the authority to judge the constitutionality of the federal government's laws and decrees. Jefferson also argued that states should refuse to enforce laws that they deem unconstitutional. James Madison wrote a similar resolution for Virginia, and he asserted that whenever the federal government exceeds its constitutional limits and begins to oppress citizens of a state, that state's legislature is duty-bound to interpose its power and prevent the federal government from victimizing people. In California, Lieu previously carried a resolution asking Congress to stop the NSA's unconstitutional practices. That measure passed almost unanimously, 32-1, and that could bode well for SB 828's chances of winning passage in Sacramento. The bill is also drawing cautious praise from civil liberties groups, including the American Civil Liberties Union. On the other hand, high-tech firms or other companies fearing loss of business could oppose the measure, and Governor Jerry Brown has vetoed some recent consumer privacy measures if law enforcement voiced opposition. Ultimately, if the bill passed, it could face legal challenges that could wind up being decided someday by the U.S. Supreme Court, which thus far has not been inclined to rule favorably on other efforts by states to nullify federal actions.
How you gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they seem tarry?
This is Ariel Johansson with an agricultural report from East County Magazine and KNSJ. The worst drought in California history is hitting farmers hard, and soon consumers may be paying higher prices as a result. Eric Larson, executive director of the San Diego County Farm Bureau, told us, "The immediate impacts in San Diego County are to cattle ranchers who have insufficient grass for grazing and fruit tree farmers who are having to buy water because of the shortage of rainfall." The State Water Project has said that for the first time ever, it is cutting off water deliveries for farmers and cities statewide. Larson says that fortunately these cuts won't affect San Diego County farmers at this time, since the Metropolitan Water District and the County Water Authority still have enough water in storage or available from alternative sources to make it through this year. But local growers say if we don't get more rain soon, they will have to pass along higher water costs to stores for items such as fresh fruits and vegetables. Coast Citrus Distributors told 10 News that it expects to be buying less produce from farmers in the Central Valley, where the drought has hit the hardest. That could mean higher costs to get produce from somewhere else, and it could be lower in quality. A buyer for Coast Citrus Distributors said costs could double or even triple. Local distributors are looking for more farmers to help them meet demands and prevent a shortage of fresh fruits and vegetables for their San Diego County consumers.
Now that Republican Council member Kevin Faulkner has been elected as the next mayor of San Diego by a 54-45% margin, his election opens a vacancy on the city council and an opportunity for Democrats to pick up a consolation prize. The Democratic-controlled council will be naming Faulkner's replacement, which is expected to give Democrats enough votes to override a mayoral veto. Still, with San Diego's strong mayor form of government, Faulkner will have many options for implementing his policies without council approval. This is different from El Cajon, for example, where a city manager does a lot of the work that a strong mayor does in San Diego. And in El Cajon, the mayor presides over the city council, whereas San Diego does not have a city manager. In San Diego, the president pro tem of the city council leads council meetings. Now, for some history, this strong mayor proposal was proposed and pushed for under the administration of Mayor Dick Murphy. Citizens of San Diego passed it by a citywide vote in 2004. The first mayor to serve under the new system was Jerry Sanders. A good parallel is that of the federal split of powers. Think of the city council as Congress and the mayor as the president. There are things the executive can do without congressional input, and there are other things that need congressional input. And in fact, Congress writes the laws just as the city council writes the laws. The president, or the mayor, can veto them, and then the Congress, or in this case the council, can override the veto if they have enough votes. Faulkner's election ends a turbulent era in San Diego politics. He replaces interim mayor Todd Gloria, who filled the vacancy left by Bob Filner's resignation amid sexual harassment claims. Filner is currently on probation after pleading guilty, and the city just settled a suit by an employee for $250,000. This was far from the close election that the political pundits had expected. Faulkner took the early lead and held it, with the count completed shortly after midnight. Alvarez conceded and announced on Twitter, "I want to congratulate Kevin Faulkner. I look forward to working with him." Faulkner tweeted in return, "Thank you for a respectful campaign. As mayor, I look forward to working with you to move our city forward."
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Coastkeepers, a San Diego-based group addressing water issues, is speaking out on the draining of Lake Morena. Shortly before the governor declared a drought emergency in California, a question of supply arose. As we've reported before, the city of San Diego has begun drawing water out of Lake Morena for water supply, while the county, which runs the public park around Lake Morena, is opposed to the drawdown because it says less water in the reservoir means harm to the environment and fewer recreational opportunities. So who is right? The city or the county? Trick question, Coastkeeper says, because there aren't any right or wrong answers. Lake Morena is a reservoir. This is one of the safeguards our region has against drought. And yet, as of January 27th, Lake Morena is only 5.4% full, at a depth of 91 feet out of 157 possible. So the limit to which this reservoir should be drawn seems pretty close, says Coastkeepers. The Lake Morena situation shows just how complex water issues are in San Diego County. For starters, California is in the middle of its driest year ever on record, and the governor has declared a drought emergency. So water providers look to our storage reservoirs to supply water needs. But shouldn't a reservoir that is at just 5.4% of capacity point strongly to a need for immediate and drastic action, Coastkeepers asks? The group has issued criticism of San Diego's water agencies and called for immediate conservation. The governor has asked for voluntary 20% reductions and is considering mandatory restrictions. The Metropolitan Water District doubled its conservation budget to $40 million. But our county water authority has done nothing. It may be true that we have enough water to last the year, but what of the future? Coast Keepers wisely asks. And what about the fact that most of our water comes from Northern California and the Colorado River, both of which are under dire strain? We must all voluntarily conserve now, even if the Water Authority won't help us, Coast Keepers suggests. Second, Coast Keepers is calling for a long-range plan. The San Diego County Water Authority is working on developing a long-range water supply plan for the region, but in Coast Keepers' view, that plan falls far short of being a usable document that will lead us to a more sustainable water future. The plan fails to promote recycling and conservation as top priorities. If we want to help alleviate situations like Lake Morena in the future, we ought to encourage the county to work with the cities in our area and stakeholders, such as San Diego Coast Keeper, in the implementation of far greater conservation and potable drinking water recycling on a large scale, they say. What can you do about it? Well, here are some things that Coast Keepers suggest. You can contact your county water representative and ask them to fund and support greater conservation and recycling measures than the master plan currently does. Secondly, you can conserve water and make a difference today. Follow a conservation watering schedule, capture and use rain when it does fall. You can get water conservation tips at the Coast Keepers website so we can all do our part to make San Diego a more water-friendly environment. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Leon Thompson with a Crime Beat Report for East County Magazine and KNSJ Radio. If you're a homeowner planning to tint your house to get rid of termites, you'd better beware of a new breed of unwanted pests. Thieves wearing respirators are breaking into homes that are tinted for termites, entering homes filled with toxic chemicals, and making off with homeowners' belongings. This happened about a week ago to a friend of our editor's. Though the latest victim lives in a coastal community, our research reveals that several crimes have been occurring across San Diego County for the past several years, including cases in East County and San Diego. Termite companies may advise homeowners to leave windows open for ventilation. Some fail to warn homeowners about the brazen crimes, but others are warning residents to take precautions. Sheriff's spokesperson Jan Caldwell told us that she had her own house tinted last October. The company told us about this potential issue, she said, adding, "They recommended I remove valuables and important papers. They also suggested I contact the police department for drive-by checks." Our editor's friend, who asked that her name not be stated in this report, said she had planned to hire a private security guard starting on the second day of tinting, since the exterminator advised it would be too toxic for thieves on the first day. But the bad guys took a risk and broke in on the first night, a dangerous but daring ploy. The victim had these tips to offer others planning to tint for termites. "My advice is you take out your firearms, your money, and your jewelry. Hiring a security guard may be costly but worth it to prevent being victimized by these persistent pests. Some homeowners who can't afford that have opted to camp out in front of their tented homes to keep watch. It's also a good idea to ask neighbors to keep an eye on your property during fumigation."
A Superior Court judge has issued a scorching decision against CAL FIRE, the state's firefighting agency. Judge Leslie Nichols has ordered CAL FIRE to pay $32 million in legal bills for Sierra Pacific Industries. CAL FIRE had tried to blame a logger working for Sierra Pacific for causing a 2007 wildfire up in Plumas County. But Judge Nichols said CAL FIRE engaged in, quote, "egregious and reprehensible conduct, including covering up evidence, lying, and engaging in corrupt and tainted actions." CAL FIRE had sought to recover its firefighting costs for the wildfire, but the case against Sierra Pacific was dismissed in July for lack of evidence, and last week the judge announced sanctions against CAL FIRE. CAL FIRE spokeswoman Janet Upton said the agency disagrees vigorously with the characterization by the court and is considering appealing the sanctions. The agency has already filed an appeal of the dismissal. The judgment comes on the heels of revelations that CAL FIRE stashed over $3.5 million into a hidden fund set up through a nonprofit for the purpose of training wildland firefighters and buying equipment. An audit by the state concluded that that money should have gone into the state's general fund. We asked Kim Hamilton, editor of the Deerhorn Valley Antler, her thoughts on this matter, and she said the disclosure calls to mind another state agency that hid funds. Remember the state parks stashing away money while pleading poverty, she asked? Back then, the State Parks Department was also caught hiding money in a private account at a time when the state was threatening to close state parks for lack of revenues. Now, some find the court's findings against CAL FIRE to be particularly troubling in our wildfire-prone state, where firefighters are widely admired and sometimes even viewed as heroes. On a local level, the ethical issues raised in this case regarding CAL FIRE are disturbing to some East County residents concerned over the county partnering with CAL FIRE to run its new county fire authority at a time when more and more rural districts are being asked to dissolve, trust CAL FIRE, and turn over local control to the CFA. Fire agencies should be above politics and reproach, says Lou Russo, chair of the Rural Fire Protection District in East County. But, he observed, I have, since first being elected to the San Diego Rural Fire Board, seen that this is not always the case. It is no surprise to me to learn that CAL FIRE, a state fire agency which the County of San Diego plans to be the backbone of the new County Fire Authority, or CFA, has been found to be less than sterling when it comes to the exhibition of integrity, legal actions, and ethics. That is why I am convinced that only by local control can CAL FIRE have the necessary oversight. Russo noted that the CFA is merely an advisory body under San Diego's supervisors with no real oversight of CAL FIRE, despite efforts ongoing to dissolve volunteer fire departments, such as the Rural Fire Protection District, and consolidate them under the County Fire Authority. While Russo said he believes supervisors will make every effort to monitor the CFA and CAL FIRE, he remains concerned that oversight might not be strict enough. Absent a county charter declaration of a firefighting mission, he concluded, local agencies such as San Diego Rural Fire are necessary to monitor CAL FIRE from close proximity and as its sole duty. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Miriam Raftery. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
A battle is brewing in Congress over unemployment benefits for veterans. Long-term unemployment for 21,000 veterans and many other Americans has expired on December, and Congress failed to extend these benefits. Each month, another 3,000 veterans who served our country join the ranks of the unemployed. Many of those are right here in San Diego County. A recent effort by the Senate to extend unemployment benefits for America's veterans was killed by a Tea Party-led filibuster in the Senate that blocked the measure from coming up for a vote. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has committed to keep bringing this issue to a vote until it passes. But to do so, he'll need a few more votes to overcome future filibusters. Next time it happens, we're going to be there with hundreds of personal stories from veterans who lost their benefits and 30,000 supporters who stand ready to take action on their behalf, says John Stoltz, an Iraq War veteran and chairman of VoteVets.org. VoteVets has launched a petition calling on Congress to extend unemployment benefits. So far, over 25,000 veterans, military family members, and supporters have signed it. You can find the petition at their website at www.votevets.org or at our site, www.eastcountymagazine.org.
A storm over the past week brought some significant rainfall to Northern California, but it's still just a drop in the bucket toward meeting our drought-parched state's water needs. The National Weather Service in Sacramento tweeted a photo to put things in perspective. It showed a 5-gallon bucket, which represents the amount of water needed by the state, with a 10-ounce cup of coffee to represent how much rain has actually fallen. Making matters worse, soils are so dry and hard from lack of rain over many years that some of the recent rainfall has just run off instead of soaking in to replenish groundwater supplies. Still, the rain brings welcome relief to drought-stricken cities and farmers. A state drought monitor report issued late last week indicated that 94% of the state remains in drought condition, with 10% experiencing exceptional drought, the worst category. So consumers are urged to continue conserving water where you can.
This is Leon Thompson with a public service announcement on East County Magazine. If you're driving on Highway 94 through Hamul, allow some extra time. Caltrans has painted new double yellow lines to create a no-passing zone from the Hamul Indian Village to the Rancho Hamul Estates. this long, relatively straight stretch of highway used to be a passing zone. But with construction of the Jamul Indian Casino slated to begin, trucks hauling equipment or materials for the project are expected to slow traffic. Once hauling begins, flaggers could be stopping traffic in one or both directions. To stay safe and don't get a ticket, allow extra time or use alternative routes.
A storm over the past week brought some significant rainfall to Northern California, but it's still just a drop in the bucket toward meeting our drought-parched state's water needs. The National Weather Service in Sacramento tweeted a photo to put things in perspective. It showed a 5-gallon bucket, which represents the amount of water needed by the state, with a 10-ounce cup of coffee to represent how much rain has actually fallen. Making matters worse, soils are so dry and hard from lack of rain over many years that some of the recent rainfall has just run off instead of soaking in to replenish groundwater supplies. Still, the rain brings welcome relief to drought-stricken cities and farmers. A state drought monitor report issued late last week indicated that 94% of the state remains in drought condition, with 10% experiencing exceptional drought, the worst category. So consumers are urged to continue conserving water where you can.
I'm John Mattis, investigative guy, host of Scammers, Schemers, and Swindlers, shining a light on shady deals all around us.
John Mattis has won 7 Emmy Awards, a Golden Mike, and the Edward R. Murrow Award for exposing fraud and corruption. Scammers, Schemers, and Swindlers is produced by the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso.
John Mattis here with Investigative Guy, talking about a crisis that's on the horizon. It's the home equity loan crisis that's about to hit consumers and homeowners all over America. What's happened is, back in 2004, when people looked at their homes and saw an ATM machine, they all got offers for home equity loans. They took out the loans, not thinking about anything, and lo and behold, many, many of those loans have 10-year resets. So what happened is, homeowners for the last 10 years have only been paying interest on those loans. Well, get ready to get hit, homeowners. If you took out a loan, a home equity loan in 2004, you're going to get a reset, and it's going to be big. You're going to be paying principal, and you're going to be paying interest. You could be hit with a $500, $600 increase in your payments per month, and guess what the banks are doing? Nothing. They are not going to protect you, and if you miss so much as one payment, you're going to be ruined with your credit, and they're going to come after you for foreclosure. There are $30 billion in resets coming next year, and if you took out a home equity loan and you aren't protected, you need to get help now. Let me repeat, the banks aren't going to protect you, and our government isn't doing a thing for you, so you need to get to a housing counselor. Get to one of those nonprofit groups that provide you a review of your mortgage, a review of your home equity loan, and see if you can get refinanced. Because the problem is, if you're underwater, who's going to refinance you? You're going to have difficulty, and you're going to be stuck with that $500, $600 bill a month that you can't afford. So before the crisis hits you, take action. Protect yourself. Get out there. Sit down with a housing counselor, and most importantly, look at your bill. Look at the terms of that loan from 2004. Find out if you've got a reset. Find out if it was interest only. And if it was interest only, the reset is coming next year. And the reset is going to hit you, and the banks are not going to show any mercy. They're not going to let you forget it. They're going to hit you with delinquency, and they're going to hit you with foreclosure. So the next big housing crisis bubble is here. It's now. You've got to be prepared. I'm John Mattis for Investigative Guy. If you've been hit by a scam, a schemer, let me know. Thank you.
The San Diego Immigrant Rights Consortium has issued a press release headlined, "Disturbing images show border agents encouraging children to shoot at migrant effigy." A photo in the release shows an agent assisting a young child to take aim at a human-shaped target dressed in jeans and a T-shirt. Now, in response, U.S. Border Patrol Assistant Chief Patrol Agent Rosario Pete Vasquez called statements in that release unfortunate and false propaganda. The immigrant rights group's press release included a photo that claims to show a Border Patrol agent teaching a child to shoot at a target, quote, dressed as a migrant, unquote. It also claims to show the U.S.-Mexico border fence in the background. The release called this practice unconscionable and denounced the reaction as symbolic of what they called a culture of violence and lack of accountability or oversight within the Border Patrol. But Assistant Chief Vasquez told East County Magazine the fence shown is not the border fence. The photo on the release was taken at a local exposition in June 2013 that was meant to increase awareness about law enforcement, he said. The photos in question are from an activity about firearm safety at the event that allowed members of the community to fire a pepper ball launch system loaded with inert rounds filled with baby powder. And according to Vasquez, the activity was meant to show how agents can use non-lethal force to defuse a situation, aiming for a suspect's legs or arms. He said the target is a standard silhouette used by law enforcement across America. Clothing on the steel target diminishes chances of a ricochet and reduces dust from talcum powder. Further, he denied that the target resembles a migrant, adding, I wear jeans and a t-shirt every day, and I'm Hispanic, so I take offense at that. The event was held in collaboration with other law enforcement agencies and coincided with the Fallen Agent Memorial Run that agents participate in their free time, to honor Border Patrol agents lost in the line of duty, and also to raise money for scholarships for high school children. But the San Diego Immigrant Rights Consortium contends this incident is insensitive and symptomatic of a broader problem. The group notes that the Border Patrol has come under scrutiny by Congress and the United Nations Commission on Human Rights, which have called for investigations into over 20 killings of unarmed individuals since 2010 along the border. A Washington Post article recently reported that recommendations urging restraint in use of force incidents by the Border Patrol were blacked out in a report by Homeland Security's Inspector General, including recommendations by the Police Executive Research Forum, which was hired by Customs and Border Patrol to conduct an independent audit. The San Diego Immigrant Rights Consortium has called on the Obama administration to release those findings from the Police Executive Research Forum's audit. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email. Or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
This is Miriam Raftery with an update on Soitec's controversial solar projects proposed in rural East County. Community members and now hydrology experts are casting serious doubts over the credibility of water use claims made by Soitec and its consulting firm, Dudek. The four massive solar projects proposed would cover 1,500 acres of wetlands and meadows in Boulevard. Soitec's developments will use an estimated 50 million gallons of groundwater, on the low end, and possibly much, much more. But a report commissioned by the community found that Boulevard does not have this much water. Worse, other experts now say the situation is even more dire, since they believe Soitec's estimate is far too low and that actual water use could be many times higher. Dr. Victor Ponce, author of a new report, has had 40 years of experience in water resources and taught hydrology at San Diego State University since 1980. He said the area is forced to rely solely on groundwater, which is replenished only from rain. According to Soitec's consultant Dudek, the area has enough water for the four projects, but Dr. Ponce's calculations show otherwise. He said the four projects would use between 145% and 221% more groundwater than can possibly be replenished by rainfall, a level that is sure to place at risk existing natural ecosystems. That means, he said, that eventually streams, marshes, and springs will dry up. The hydrology expert's report concluded that no development, no matter how lofty its aim, should place at risk existing natural ecosystems. He said Boulevard's Soitec projects must resort to imported water to satisfy their needs, if they are built at all. Dr. Ponce is not the only water expert voicing concerns. Marty Kennel owns Well Done Pump Service and Supply in Boulevard. He's been installing and repairing well water pump systems out there for 25 years, and he says he's got proof of water levels dropping up to 60 feet. He has also seen former year-round creeks no longer visible above the ground. And he says Soitec's projects could have a detrimental effect on water supply, dry up, or contaminate drinking water. He believes the recent drops in well water out there are due, in part, to growing industrial activity, including SDG&E's Sunrise PowerLink and substations. He voiced opposition to selling water for more industrial projects that will use millions of gallons of water amid the drought. When trees die from lack of water, that also heightens fire danger. Too much of what Soitec alleges would not affect residents is just the opposite of what I have found to be fact, he concluded. Even worse, evidence produced by Howard Cook, chairman of the Hucumba Sponsor Group, reveals that DUDEC appears to have omitted major water use aspects of the project when it listed off water uses in the Environmental Impact Report, and these are not small omissions. For example, DUDEC failed to list two concrete-making plants proposed on-site, nor did they list rock-crushing operations, both of which typically use massive amounts of water. Residents fear that Soitec, like SDG&E in its recent eco-substation project, is seriously underestimating the amount of water required. SDG&E ended up using three times the amount of its original estimate for that substation. Oh, and that estimate was made by, yeah, you guessed it, DUDEC. DUDEC also underestimated water use at a golf course in Poway, where well problems later occurred. Plus, according to engineer Jim Pelly in Ocotillo, DUDEC was off by a country mile in its water use estimates for the Ocotillo Express wind facility, which used 5 to 6 times more water than DUDEC estimated. After Mr. Cook presented his findings at a Boulevard Planning Group meeting last week, the audience applauded. Cook asked county staffers why they didn't catch these omissions. But the bigger question is why a consultant that has been off by so much on so many major projects is still being relied upon for water estimates in an area where water is a precious commodity, particularly during the worst drought in California history. Boulevard planners voted unanimously to oppose this project, but ultimately, county supervisors will have the final say.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. This week's Destination East County program includes art, art classes, hikes, music, and theater. San Diego County Acoustic Showcase Series is presenting the Swept Wing Chicken Thieves from the San Diego Bluegrass Society, performing at the Lemon Grove Library on Tuesday, February 18th, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. The Swept Wing Chicken Thieves are a quintet of musicians featured in San Diego Bluegrass Society events. Admission is free. Every Friday and Saturday night, expect live entertainment at Winola Pizza and Bistro in the Winola area of Julian, 3 miles west of Julian on State Highway 78, and 3.5 miles east of Santa Isabel. This Friday night, February 21st, features a performance by bluegrass band Jimbo Trout from 6 to 9 p.m. Also in Julian, the Julian Doves and Desperados are in town every Sunday in Julian, weather permitting, from 12 to 4 p.m. They perform historic, comedy, and gunfight skits at their stage area, located between the Julian Fitness Center and the Julian Market and Deli, at 1 p.m., 2 p.m., and 3 p.m. Admission is free. An Art in the Park exhibit runs throughout the month of February at Mission Trails Regional Park in San Carlos. Mark Catane will be exhibiting his photography, and award-winning oil painter Vanessa Rusick will be exhibiting her oil paintings at the Visitor Center Art Gallery at 1 Father Junipero Serra Trail in San Carlos. Another art exhibit in East County, An American Family, The Art of Kathleen Strzelecki, will be held over throughout the month of February in the Lemon Grove Library on School Lane in Lemon Grove. Emotional Power, Psychological Intensity, and Elegiac Portraits of Children are features of Strzelecki's dramatic series of large-scale works that speak directly to the viewer. The Lake Murray Walk and Talk Group of La Mesa will meet Tuesday, February 18th from 9 to 10:30 a.m. at Lake Murray. Led by Mission Trails Regional Park Trail Guide Nancy Clement, this is an informative talk and guided nature walk that meets by the boat docks and is held on the third Tuesday of each month unless it is raining. As reported last week in Destination East County, Mission Trails Regional Park is offering a workshop for kids 3 years old and up called Bothersome But Beneficial, Backyard Bandits. This week, the program will be presented on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, February 17th through 19th, from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., with puppets, pelts, songs, and specimens, scat, tracks, and a craft and nature walk. Kids can learn about nature's nocturnal nuisances, raccoons, skunks, and opossums. Also at Mission Trails Regional Park, Nora's Art Class for Children will be held from 2 to 3:30 p.m. on Saturday, February 22nd. Nora's Art Classes for Children ages 5 through 12 are being offered by artist Nora Kearney Johnson on most Saturday afternoons through June 2014. Each Saturday is a different topic, and children may take home their art projects. All art supplies are included in the cost. The dates for the classes and weekly topics are listed on the mtrp.org website. There must be a minimum of 5 students registered 48 hours in advance for the class to be scheduled. For class confirmation, go to the homepage, mtrp.org, and click on Nora's Children's Art Classes under More News. The class on February 22nd will be Jacob Lawrence's World Paper Collage. This Saturday, February 22nd, from 9 to 11:30 a.m., there will be a hike with a ranger to see native plants in bloom. This is a free family hike to the Par 4 Drive in El Cajon. San Diego is home to one of the most biologically diverse hotspots of the world, and the San Diego Wildlife Refuge is no exception. The topic of native plants and wildflowers in bloom with Ranger Debbie Good. And then on March 22nd from 8 to 11 a.m., the hike will be to McGinty Mountain Trail in Jamul with the topic Special Soils, Rare Plants, and Historical Mines. Come and learn about San Diego's native habitats such as coastal sage scrub, riparian, cactus scrub, and native grassland. Find out how the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is working to protect the sensitive and unique wildlife that lives there. Many times, specialists or experts are featured on the hikes, covering special themes such as International Migratory Bird Day or National Pollinator Week. Kids and families are encouraged to participate. Hike with the Ranger is on one Saturday per month, usually lasts between 2 and 3 hours, and there is no shade during the hike. Hikers need to bring water, wear sturdy hiking shoes, and can bring binoculars and a sketchbook also. The play Annie is being performed again this weekend, put on by the Christian Youth Theater. Leapin' Lizards' Little Orphan Annie, the comic strip character that will live forever in the young at heart, hits the stage on Friday, February 21st at 7 p.m., and on Saturday, February 22nd at 2 p.m. and again at 7 p.m., and Sunday, February 23rd at 2 p.m. The cast and crew of this musical, toe-tapping timeless family classic about the little orphan who is never short of optimism and tenacity, features students from all across San Diego, ages 8 through 18. The performances will be held at the Greenfield Middle School on Greenfield Drive in El Cajon. There will be a 5K, 10K benefit in Ramona called Band on the Run on Saturday, February 22nd at 7 a.m. at the Ramona High School track. Check-in is at 7 a.m. and the races start at 8 a.m. The races include a 1 mile kids run and supervised kids area while the adults race, as well as a free t-shirt. Proceeds will benefit Ramona High School band programs. That's all for this week. All of these events are on our calendar and in our festivals and events section on www.eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is supported by our listeners and by a community enhancement grant from the County of San Diego. See you around, East County!
Mm-hmm. This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities.
The Santa Isabel Casino has closed its doors following years of operating at a loss, but now tribal members are hoping that a new tribal business enterprise, BioStar Solar, will offer a brighter future. The Ipe tribe is diversifying in hopes of creating a more diverse and sustainable business model. BioStar Solar received its Minority Enterprise Certificate on February 3rd from the California Public Utilities Commission. The Tribal Enterprise Company's website at biostarsolar.com describes the business as a full-service solar developer with extensive experience to build, own, and operate customized turnkey solar solutions. The site says that BioStar's management team has experience in a variety of fields and industries, including solar installations, as well as hydroelectric biomass financing and contracting. Besides utility-scale installations, BioStar is looking at providing solar at point of use for businesses. The company is also aiming to offer power purchase agreements to local governments. Jun Sotori, a tribal member and vice chairman of the tribe's enrollment commission, has proposed another idea to provide economic prosperity for tribal members, delaying flow of tribal waters that run downhill off the reservation and creating a fish hatchery. She thinks this would be an ecologically sound project and a win-win situation. She added, "I have grandchildren, and it's really important to save them a future where we can enjoy what this was set aside for." The tribe's casino faced steep odds from the outset, opening in 2007 in a remote location with far fewer slot machines than bigger casinos closer to population centers. Then in October of 2007, the Witch Creek fire roared through the area, forcing a one-week shutdown and cancellation of the casino's planned grand opening events. The recession that started in 2008 further exacerbated those problems, reportedly leaving it $50 million in debt. Tribal Chairman Virgil Perez said this very difficult decision for the tribe was made after careful consideration of the current economic climate and gaming in this region. He also voiced concern for the casino's 115 employees who are now without jobs. Jun Sotori told East County Magazine that she faults the tribe's former chairman, Johnny Hernandez, alleging he entered into contracts without approval of tribal members. Mr. Hernandez did not return our call requesting comment. Closure of the casino raises concerns not only for tribal members and casino employees, but also for the Santa Isabel Fire Department, since it obtained substantial funds as part of casino impact mitigation. Coming during the worst drought in California's recorded history, that news is troubling for residents throughout this small rural fire district, but tribal members are now hoping that investing in solar energy and other diverse business enterprises will lead to a more sustainable future. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to Reel to Reel. Every show, we will bring you authentic, independent artists. I'm your host, Dean Bruce, and I sit down every show with a diverse group of musicians, not only digging deep into the grit of the music-making process, but also bringing to you the real stories of these real artists. This is Reel to Reel. Good evening, everyone. We're hitting you again at night with a new band. I'm sitting in tonight with League of Liars. Say hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey,
hello,
how you doing?
Everyone.
Guys, it's been a pleasure having you in. We've sat around and talked for a little while. You're going to play some music for us, and I really can't wait to hear that stuff. But I really want to get down to how you guys became a band. So let's start with, you know, the beginnings.
Well, the band League of Liars came from the breakup of another band called Not Anymore. And myself...
Well, it is Not Anymore.
It is not anymore. Myself and Dave decided to put something else together. I had played prior with Tim, Rumble T, our drummer, and him and I clicked really well. Yeah, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
And after that, I started searching the local Craigslist, and I
What were you looking for on Craigslist?
Our lead singer, because you don't want to hear me sing.
Yeah, so we're pretty much a product of Craigslist.
So you guys got together, answered a couple Craigslist ads in a questionable fashion. So we set the Wayback Machine to 2011. You guys coming off an award from the Del Mar Fair Music Palooza. And you guys go back into the
Lockout Studio. Talk to me about your musical influences. Obviously, we all start someplace. We all have a strain of music that we attach our emotions to, that we want to sound like in a way. What's your guys' musical influences?
I love songwriters, people like Paul Simon and Tom Waits, and people that they can weave magic out of their words. That's what gets kind of like the fire going. It's my needle flickering.
I feel like all of a sudden we ended up into a fireside chat about.
Well, bravo! Let me tell you. The best you could ever ask for as a songwriter is to find a group of musicians that can play music in a way that like may not be like exactly what you think, but like is good. Like exactly, they take you beyond what you can think it occurs, and like actually like interject kind of some new fresh blood and actually like take that to the next kind of level. And I think that like with these gentlemen here, like they've managed to like, you know, not only like respect it and do it good, but like crank it up.
We talk about passion, we talk about organic structure in your music, and that's a good segue lead into the first song you guys are gonna play for us tonight, which is Weld.
Weld is the worst day of your life being replayed to you in your head over and over at like this constant like can't stop loop.
Let's have you guys play Weld for us. I'm really excited about hearing
this one.
Looking
forward to it.
So everybody listening in Radio Land, this is League of Liars with Weld.
And I'm more right now.
All right, for those of you just joining us, I am Dean Bruce, and this is Reel to Reel, and I'm sitting in with League of Liars, and that was Weld. I want to go into the next one. Like, normally
I'm ready to play.
Let's talk some more, but now I just want to go to the next one.
Speaking of this,
we're going to go into California.
Yep.
Which California has a little bit of a longer title, but we're on the radio, so we're going to shorten the title a little bit. Yeah. Take me through that one. Just like you did for the other one, let's talk about California.
The song is kind of like a modern retelling of Nina Simone. So the same way that Nina Simone's Mississippi was meant to kind of like call people out from their apathy. It's almost like, you know, like it's like when I was writing the song, it was almost like kind of like acknowledging the emptiness of what's currently going on and the desire to strive for something more.
Right.
But at the same time, it's just like almost like, you know, when you get to the end of the day, it's like California. Oh, the GD.
Yeah. And like Nina was great at just shaking it up.
She was great. Yeah.
And it was. You know, there's comedians out there, like, you know, you think about all these different guys that are like shock, like they're doing it to get a shock.
Exactly.
And Nina was the epitome of that in a musical perspective. Like, she was putting out there to shock you
exactly.
into doing something.
No, totally.
And I get that out of this song. You know?
Thank you.
And I, so that's why I'm so, like, that's why I just want to get to it. Like,
nice. Let's do it.
I'm going to shut my ego down and shut my voice down, and we're going to get into it. So, folks, get ready, because here's California.
We're rolling, California.
Well, knives and the smiles at the meet and greet. We're brand new wolves, got the same old teeth. Same old tea. A little water does a whole lot of drowning. Sit the priest in the temple of accounting. By all accounts, on belly of the beast. Hell, they'll be lining up the fine for a triad apiece. A triad apiece. Mr. Midas got a real bad itch to get the golden shovel in a private ditch. But then again, ain't life a goddamn California. You can have it all. Consider that a warning. The night is young. The drink in your hand, and everybody knows that it's California. A little fish said in a big fish noise, I refuse to choose between words and a voice. Goddamn California, you can have it all. Consider that a warning. The night is young, the drink in your hand, and everybody knows. Everybody knows that it's goddamn California. You can have it all. Consider that a warning.
For those of you just joining us, this is Dean Bruce. This is Reel to Reel. We're in the studio with League of Liars, and that was California. So 2011, San Diego County Fair Music Palooza People's Choice Award. 2010, IBEW's Battle of the Bands winner. Let's talk about where people can find you out. www.reverbnation.com/League of Liars. Check you out on Facebook, facebook.com/League of Liars. Guys, thank you very much for being in studio tonight with us. This is 89.1 KNSJ, the sounds of East County, Descanso, and all wonderful places out here in the world. I'm Dean Bruce, your host for Reel to Reel.
Reel to Reel is recorded on location at San Diego Performance Academy with help of studio producer Dave Bramley, executive producer Jerry Dean, engineer Levi Wong. If you would like to appear on the show, check us out at www.reeltorealsessions.com, facebook.com/reeltorealsessions, or you can email us at info@reeltorealsessions.com. Title music provided by Look Up Here.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.